I pointed out at the beginning that the two saints whose feast days are today stand in a certain contrast. One is rich and one is poor. Saint Margaret of Scotland, she was a queen, big family, married to a king, and she had money for sure. She used a lot of it to serve the poor, but she was certainly a rich woman. The other saint, Saint Gertrude, well, she was a religious, so she, if she had any money, she gave it all away. And I deliberately mentioned them because I think this theme is part of the liturgical, of the liturgy this time of year, and certainly part of what we run into in today's readings. Today we read about Zacchaeus, who was a rich man. It might seem accidental that yesterday we focused on a poor man, a very poor man, the blind beggar, remember, Bartimaeus. It's not an accident. It comes straight from the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of the Poor, and St. Luke, in this section of his Gospel, is reflecting a lot about richness and poorness. In fact, if you look it up in your Bible, look in Luke chapter 18 and 19. In fact, there's a little footnote about this very passage. I'll read it to you. This is the New American Bible Revised Edition, the footnote to the story of Zacchaeus. The story of the tax collector Zacchaeus is unique to this gospel, meaning to Luke's gospel. While a rich man, Zacchaeus, provides a contrast to the rich man of chapter 18, verse 18. That's the rich man, the rich young man who wanted to know how to be saved, and he went away sad. Remember that. So it just comes a few verses before this one. So this footnote says St. Luke is contrasting the rich young man who went away sad and rich Zacchaeus who received Jesus with joy. That's the contrast. Okay, the rich man who cannot detach himself from his material possessions to become a follower of Jesus. Zacchaeus, according to Luke, exemplifies the proper attitude toward wealth. He promises to give half of his possessions to the poor, and consequently is the recipient of salvation. So this is not about just about who has money and who doesn't have money. It's about the right attitude toward money, because that's what makes the difference. So if you look in this Gospel of Luke, back in chapter 18, there's the parable of the persistent widow. She's poor, but she wins out over the corrupt judge. Then there's the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, okay, the good and the bad. Then there's the saying about children. Then there's the story of the rich young man. Then there's a passage on riches and renunciation, where Jesus talks about how it's impossible for the rich to enter the kingdom, and easier to pass through for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. And then the passage about the poor beggar, yesterday's gospel, and then today's gospel, Zacchaeus, the tax collector. And then the next passage is the parable of the 10 gold coins, which I assume will be tomorrow, although I didn't look. Yes. So the 10 gold coins being a parable about how to use money. Okay, so here's Zacchaeus. He's a rich man, and he's one of the few people described in the New Testament as rich, and usually the rich come off looking pretty bad in the Gospels, in the New Testament in general. Jesus himself says, "Woe to you who are rich." And the poor are looked upon with favor because God has this special love for the poor. Maybe this is an important theme near the end of the liturgical year, because everything is coming to an end and we're going to leave it all behind, so we better get this straight. And maybe that's why Pope Francis decided to put the World Day of the Poor on the 33rd Sunday of Ordinary Time every year. Or maybe, I don't know why he chose that day, but it does seem fitting. Now, yesterday I mentioned that Bartimaeus, the poor beggar, was the sort of person who is easily excluded from society, ignored. And the witness of Jesus is not to exclude him, but to favor him, heal him. It doesn't mean, though, that Jesus is going to the other extreme and excluding the rich. And today's gospel is the proof of it. Zacchaeus is a rich man, and Jesus does not exclude him from the kingdom. Rather, he welcomes him too. Zacchaeus, who was rich, was also despised. So in exchange for his position as a tax collector, he gave up social acceptance. And that's why when Jesus says, I'm going to go to your house, the reaction of the crowd is, wait a minute. They're not rejecting Zacchaeus because he's rich. Because remember, in that time period, rich people were given lots of honor. But not this rich man, because he was a tax collector, a traitor to the people. But Jesus is not thinking about any of that. He is bringing salvation to anyone who is willing to welcome it. And the great thing about Zacchaeus is, when Jesus calls him, first of all, he's searching. He wants to see Jesus. But then when Jesus calls him, come down quickly, Zacchaeus comes down quickly and welcomes him with joy. That shows what's really in his heart. His willingness to give up half his possessions and to pay back fourfold anybody he's cheated shows what's really in his heart. He's not that attached to money after all. What he really rejoices to have is this new friendship with Jesus. His new richness. Who cares about money if you have Jesus Christ? Who cares about how much money you have if you have salvation in Jesus Christ? The other famous tax collector is, of course, St. Matthew, remember? When Matthew experienced being called by Jesus, he had a big party for him. That was the thing to delight in is relationship with Jesus Christ, not in money. If you have money, well then have a party. Use it for good. Use it for the good that God wants you to use it for. Don't cling to it or you will go away sad. So that's the beautiful story of Zacchaeus. Now I'd like to make a connection to today's first reading, the other beautiful and inspiring story of Eleazar, the old man in the second book of Maccabees. For Eleazar, I don't know if he was rich, but he certainly had a kind of richness because he was held in great esteem. He had social standing. He was considered a venerable elder. In fact, this whole reading, when you listen to it, it shows what a healthy society, how a healthy society honors the elderly. How merited distinction of his gray hair and his noble life and virtue and his, he's obviously considered a great man, partly because he's old, 90 years old. So if a society honors people who are old, simply because they're old, that's a good sign. That's right. I see an advocate here for senior citizens. Maybe that's a good a good point for that program, supporting, upholding the dignity of senior citizens. People have been reminding me lately that I'm about to become a senior citizen myself. So maybe that's why it's in my mind. But Eleazar is 30 years older than I am, so he's 90 years old. And as I said, he has a kind of richness. But he, like Zacchaeus, like any wise person, does not cling to what his richness is. He says, I would rather give up my life, give up my status in society. I would rather die than lose my relationship with God. See what his priorities are. And they say, well, you can just pretend to eat this sacrificial offering. You could just pretend, bring something that you can't eat, and we'll just let you go, because out of respect for you, out of friendship for you. Isn't that the way corruption usually works? I just do a little something on the side. Eleazar will have none of it. He could save his life, but he says, well, what good would a few more hours or weeks or days of life, what good would it do if I'm cut off from God? He says it very, very beautifully. Should I thus pretend for the sake of a brief moment of life, I could lead the youth astray? In other words, I could save myself, but what would be the effect on other people? See, he's a wise and selfless man. They would be led astray by me, while I would bring shame and dishonor on my old age. So he gives up his life. This makes us wonder, what is so valuable to us that we would give up our life for it? What's more valuable to us than life? Certainly money isn't, because what good is it to to save money and lose your life? You end up losing the money anyway. There has to be something so valuable and so lasting that it's more precious than life itself. That's this relationship with God, this covenant of love with God, this enduring bond with God, living in the will of God. It's worth more than life itself. If we have that, then we're really rich. We're eternally rich. And to lose that is to be reduced to the worst kind of poverty. So St. Margaret of Scotland certainly knew this. St. Gertrude knew it. Zacchaeus discovered it, the great joy of knowing the love Jesus has for him. Eleazar knew it in his own Old Testament way. And the church is inviting all of us to know this, the true richness of relationship with God, the greatness of poverty of spirit, of detachment from earthly goods, is to be able to receive the greater gift of life in God.